And if you're looking at one of the beautiful banners here, it would be the one that says, "Were our hearts not burning?" From that 7-mile relay race we had to Emmaus and back. That's the passage we are focusing on this morning. Again, the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 13 through 35. Listen for the Word of God. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, and that same day was Easter, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place, and moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps you've heard the story about the couple who invited a number of neighbors, several of the neighbors knew, over to their house for dinner one evening. They had out the best china and silverware and really wanted to have a nice meal with the neighbors. And their 6-year-old daughter joined them in the meal. And as the meal was about to begin, the mother said to the daughter, "Well, honey, would you please have our blessing?" And the daughter said, she was hesitant. And the mom said, "Oh, honey, please don't be shy. Just have our blessing." And finally the daughter said, "Well, I just wouldn't know what to say." And then the mom said, "Well, honey, just pray what you hear mommy praying." And so the daughter kind of looked at her mom strangely and bowed her head and clasped her hands together and said, "Oh Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to supper?" Our sermon text has to do with a walk on a road and a meal. And while this saying isn't very hospitable of that girl and her mom, the story has much to do with hospitality. And it has much to do with ordinary things. For friends, there are times in our lives when we have known joy, and many of us sense almost with certainty the peace of God in our lives, and such a time may come and when a person enters our life as a gift of grace, offering us the opportunity to give and to receive love. Such a time of God's presence may be those moments when we're allowed to see deeply into the nature of things, and we are convinced again that life has meaning and purpose. It may be a significant event in our life, these times of joy, a wedding or a birth of a child, and we give thanks to God for those times when we know God's leading by day and by night. Thanks be to God for moments we feel God's presence so near and so with us. But there are other moments within our lives, are there not? There are those hours and days and even weeks when the presence of God is not so clear to us. There are those moments about which this sermon is primarily concerned, not just when tragedy strikes, but when the routine of life gets to us and we wonder where God is in the midst of all this, when the dishes and the laundry and the shopping and the carpooling and the paying of bills and the working and the transporting of children or grandchildren and all of that goes on and seems ceaseless and without purpose, and where is God? Let's be honest, all of those have those times, says one. When the earth which used to receive our bold steps on the journey of faith seemed to be shifting and swaying under our feet, we all have those times of doubt. And this was obviously the case on the road to Emmaus that Easter evening. Here were two people that first Easter plodding along sorrowfully on the 7-mile road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Only a few days had passed since they had joined the throngs of people going to the capital for the Passover feast, and Cleopas and his friend had been excited, for as followers of this Jesus of Nazareth, they knew he would be there, and perhaps he would assert himself and liberate his people from the Roman oppression. But that was a week ago. And now their hopes were wrecked, their dreams were shattered. Jesus had been mocked, spit upon, crucified, dead, and buried. The ones who had hoped in him didn't know what to do or where to go, so Cleopas and his unnamed friend went walking to Emmaus, thinking they had bet it all on the wrong proverbial horse and lost big time. And as they walked, they talked. Can't you just hear them? "Well, you can't beat City Hall. Yeah, the machine always wins. So much for our great plan to follow Jesus around as his disciples, waiting for him to bring down Rome. Well, I wonder if our fishing boat still has the for sale sign on it there at the marina. Hey, do you remember the times he would teach from a boat? And the crowds would be gathered there on the shore trying to get close to them, get close to him, elbowing one another. And yeah, I remember that. I would think that we would have to call security to do crowd control. Yeah, those were the good times. They sure were." And while they're talking, they're joined by a stranger who inquires about their conversation. And amazed, they stop and question the stranger. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? What things, they ask. The man asked them, and they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And the stranger listens as they talk and then chides them for not understanding the law and the prophets. He interprets the scripture for them and places the events of the last few days in a larger, more redemptive light. He brings out the pie charts and the film projector to cast up the PowerPoint and puts all of this out there so they can see. And okay, maybe not exactly like that. And during all this, Luke says, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And so it is with your life and mine. Can we not see ourselves taking that same walk to different places and in different times, weighed down like those two people by something that makes the road seem like a dead end? Weighed down perhaps by despair or family problems or troubles on the job? But as we walk and as we talk, the risen Christ is there unrecognized. He shakes his head and asks what things and chides us for our hopelessness. So often, you see, we are as blind as those two on the road to Emmaus. So often Christ is there in front of us in history and in the events of our own lives, and we do not recognize him. So often to us it seems that he simply is not there. Yes, to us the routine of life, tragedies of life, sometimes blind us to his presence. We ask with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And if this is part of our spiritual experience, and I believe it is for each of us at some point or another in our lives, what do we do when faced with that? For some help, let's look again at our New Testament lesson. The two followers of Jesus were on their way to Emmaus, doing what they did so often, walking home. And he came as the stranger. When they came to Emmaus, they invited him to spend the night. After all, friend, they said, it will soon be too dark to travel. And besides, we've got the best fried chicken, black-eyed peas, and fried green tomatoes here in southern Judea. Come on and join us for a spell. Sit right here with us. And, well, okay, those weren't their exact words, maybe, but close enough. But they did eat. And though this man had opened the scriptures to them with their hearts burning, speaking with theological depth, it weren't until they were sitting down to an ordinary meal and he took bread in his hands and their eyes were opened, and then they recognized him. Yes, the Lord was made known in the breaking of the bread. Perhaps they recognized a familiar gesture as he broke the bread. Or did they see the scars on his hands? Or did he say some words like he had a few nights before on Maundy Thursday? Whatever the physical explanation, the Lord chose to reveal himself in the breaking of the bread. Just bread, not some special religious food, but the most common food. Yes, just a few nights earlier, he had broken bread with his disciples saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in saying that, my friends, he meant in one sense, when you do the simplest things, like eating a meal together, remember that I am with you. Do not for my sake despise life or any part of it. The bread is blessed like most common, everyday, ordinary things you do. Yes, They knew him in the breaking of the bread. Not in the theological talk along the road, as helpful and necessary as those talks can be. Not even in the sanctuary set apart, despite the importance of our worshiping together. Not in some special religious experience, despite the need for those times. Life goes on as usual. Meals are still eaten. Bread is still broken. But everything is different in a sense because He is here in the midst of all of us, in the midst of the taken for granted. You see, the problem is so often is that we want the special, the unique spiritual experience. Those special religious moments all the time. We want the extraordinary wonders that assure us that God is indeed at work. But God usually does not have it that way. God eludes our grasp. In fact, as soon as those two at Emmaus recognized him, Jesus vanished from their sight. He only left them with their meal together. That is what he had given them the whole time. But they hadn't the eyes to see it. They had one another, though, all along. He gave them back the ordinary when they had wanted the extraordinary. His kingdom was among them in this life, in the common everyday gestures, words, and actions that they did with one another. They had wanted a kingdom like that of King David, clothed in majesty and might to rescue and protect them. But he was with them then, just as he is with us here now, in the walk along the road, or as a stranger coming in need. In other words, in the ordinary events of life. Strange things happen, says the Presbyterian minister Frederick Buechner, who is one of my favorite authors. Again and again, Christ is present, not where as Christians you would be apt to look for him, but precisely where you wouldn't have thought to look for him in 1,000 years. The greatest preacher, the sunset, the B minor mass leave you cold. But the child in the doorway, the rain on the roof, the half-remembered dream, speak of him and for him with an eloquence that turn your knees to water. The decisions you think are most important turn out not to matter so much after all, but whether or not you mail that letter or send that email. The way you say goodbye or decide not to say it. The afternoon you cancel everything and drive off just to get away for a while. These are the moments when souls are won or lost, including quite possibly your own. So my friends, when you walk, remember our Lord walked from town to town just as he walked with those two exhausted people on their journey to Emmaus. When you enjoy life, remember that he loved parties, festivals, and spoke of the heavenly banquet. When you cry, remember that he wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. When you laugh, remember that he made silly puns about camels trying to fit through the eye of a needle. And when you feel God has deserted you, remember that Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when you embrace a child and feel those small, tiny hands around your neck, remember that he loved to hold little children, seeing in them something of the kingdom's way. And when you eat a meal together, Remember, he loved to eat with his friends, and that our sacrament of the Lord's Supper has its origin at the table. My friends, Jesus is not in the grave. Neither is he only in heaven. Through the Holy Spirit, he is in the midst of us, not only here in this sanctuary, but as we go forth from here. He makes us known. He makes himself known to us in common, ordinary elements and events, like the walk along the road and the breaking of the bread. So let me leave you then with one more word. In your journey on the road of faith, you will have, I suspect, some important spiritual experiences. Thank God for those times. But you will also have from time to time, I suspect, those moments when God seems not to be present, not to be near. And at those times, my friends, remember that God has chosen to be revealed to us when we least expect it, in the common, ordinary, day-to-day events of our lives. Yes, God is revealed even in the breaking of the bread. And to him be all glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen.